Good morning to all of you. Good to see you here today. We'll be looking at Luke 10 as we begin, then John 11, then John 12, three texts of Scripture, moving from one to the other. You see on the back of your bulletin the texts listed. It was 31 years ago that the complete book of zingers was written. Was compiled by Mr. Croft M. Pence. Are you interested in a copy? The Complete Book of Zingers. He based that book on another that he compiled in 1962, 1001 Sentence Sermons. 1001 Sentence Sermons. That's a lot like the Book of Proverbs. You can take one sentence, one verse out of the book of Proverbs, and you've got a whole sermon just in what it says. Mr. Croft defines a zinger this way: a pointed, witty remark or retort. I don't know if you use the word retort much. The second thing he says about a zinger: something causing or meant to cause interest, surprise, or shock. A zinger. On page 89, I found the one that you see on the screen. This zinger or sentence sermon. See if it causes you interest, surprise, or shock. Don't pray and talk cream and live skim milk. That's a pretty good zinger. Pretty good sentence sermon. I know that you can think of some other sayings and Bible verses with the same message. Faith without works is dead. Don't pray and talk cream and live skim milk. The Lord Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. What I want to do today is suggest an example of someone who I think prayed, talked, and lived cream. It's a familiar woman in the New Testament of the Bible. Now, I'll admit, right up front, there probably was some skimmed milk in her life because she, like me and like you, was a sinner. So there's bound to be some skim milk there, not all cream. But the cream seems to rise to the top as I read her story. Her name is Mary. Yes, there were several Marys in the New Testament. We're picking one out of that group. And I've decided that Mary lived a cream life. Why did I decide that? Because each time we find her, each of the three times we find her, she's at Jesus' feet. Now, I want to encourage us all to imitate Mary. Imagine how we can add some more cream living to our daily lives to replace maybe some of that skim milk. Now, there are three times that the Scriptures show us Mary positioned at Jesus' feet. We're going to look briefly at each one. We're not going into all of the details of each of the stories. I've already teased you with sentence sermons. We're going beyond that, but not as long as we could go. I want you to notice the cream living demonstrated for us through Mary. Now, as I was telling Donna what I thought I'd be preaching on, she suggested the other day that this really is a fitting conclusion to our recent series in Hebrews 1:1-3. We titled that, Remember God's Son. And we looked at seven different things there about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we're pulling it all together, saying, if that's who He is, we ought to spend time at His feet, as Mary did. So let's look at the three things. First of all, point A, Mary spent time at Jesus' feet for teaching, Luke 10. Now, two sisters have the blessed opportunity to personally listen to and learn from Jesus. He comes to their town and then to their house. And it actually says in verse number 41, it's Martha's house, verse 38. But it's their house. Sister number one, Martha, she's all kitchen cupboards, meal menus, and hospitable hostessing. That's Martha. Good things in themselves, but this time Jesus describes it as, and I quote from the New King James Version, worried and troubled about many things. Or your translation may say, anxious and troubled about many things. Wait a minute, she's kitchen cupboards and menus and hostessing, and Jesus says, you're anxious and worried about everything. I wonder how that sounds to Martha. I wonder if that hurt. Jesus' interpretation of her life right now seems to tip the scale a bit towards skim milk, doesn't it, when he says this? Her scurrying, Jesus calls worrying. Her busyness, Jesus describes as beside herself. Her rebuke toward Mary and Jesus, why don't you tell Mary to help me? Her rebuke, Jesus puts aside as unnecessary. Her priorities, Jesus suggests, need prioritizing. Now it is time for sitting, for paying attention, and accumulating divine wisdom to thicken cream, to live in a skim milk world. That's sister number one. Sister number two, Mary, is pictured like a child, sitting in front of a teacher telling a story with flannel graph. You remember flannel graph, don't you? There she is, like that little child. Her calm stillness is in bright contrast to the blurred activity of her sister. Jesus calls what Mary is doing in verse 42 here, he says it's needed, it's necessary, and it's good. That's his conclusion about Mary. Kind of different from Martha. He is teaching. We saw there back in Hebrews chapter 1 when we were in that text that he was the Son of God, spoke for God. He always did that. He's teaching. Mary's learning. The idea comes across that sometimes being with Jesus is more important than doing for Jesus. Martha's doing a lot of doing for. Mary is being with. This is a choice they both made. Martha does good things. But right now, choosing the better thing is best. And she didn't make that choice. And this choice can make the difference between a skimmed milk and a cream life. Now, is this story speaking to any of us today? Is it possible that any of us need to choose more being with than doing for Jesus? That's what we're talking about when we say something about, a quiet time, personal devotions. Being with Jesus. Not doing. Being with. Is that what we're talking about when we encourage one another to join us on Sundays for our meetings? What are we doing here? Well, fundamentally, we're meeting with Jesus. We're sitting at His feet. We're waiting for some teaching from Him through His Word. Isn't this example of Mary nudging us in this direction? Sit at Jesus' feet. Yeah, but I've got a meeting, and it's at the church. Well, a few weeks ago, the pastor preached a message, and it convicted me about getting out and witnessing. Nothing wrong with meetings at the church. Nothing wrong with getting out witnessing. Have you carved out time to sit at Jesus' feet? I think Mary is an example of Christian cream, not donuts, Christian cream living. Let's go to the next story, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Mary spent time at Jesus' feet, not only for teaching, but during trouble. During trouble. We aren't going to go through the whole passage here. Our attention, though, shifts from hospitality to heartache. A brother of the two sisters, according to verse number 14, died. Jesus said, he's dead. Lazarus is dead. In a sense, it's an ordinary funeral. There's nothing unusual going on here for that day yet. The sisters' grief hears echoes of the same from bystanders. They had kind of public mourners that went along with the family or whoever was grieving, and they all joined in with the mourning. That was typical. There is body preparation that is usual for the day. Burial in a cave takes place almost immediately to prevent memories of decaying flesh. Jesus said, "Where is he?" And they said, "He's in there." And Martha says, "But by now," to highlight the glory of God, Jesus follows his own timetable. Doesn't that frustrate you? When Jesus follows his own timetable. Of one to arrive at the funeral, everyone thinks that he's late. It's unanimous. He's late. He knows that he's never late, even with a four-day delay. Don't you love verse number 5 and 6? They kind of contrast with me. It says in verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus," and you just expect the next verse to say he dropped everything and ran right over. But instead it says, "So when he heard that he was sick, Lazarus, Jesus stayed 2 more days. He loved, he stayed." Now put that together in your own life. He loved. He knows that's going to bring more glory to God. Verse 4, he's talking about the Son of God may be glorified through it. Well, sister number 1, again, Martha, hears of Jesus' arrival. Finally, he gets there. She then has a theology discussion with him. It starts in verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And they go on back and forth then from that point, discussing resurrection, death, and so on. And Martha begins with words about Jesus preventing death. That's her point. If you'd been here, you could have prevented this. Jesus answers with words about raising the dead. Boy, those are two different things. Lord Jesus, you're late. If only you'd been here, then this would have happened. How often do we think like that? And he's saying all the time, I'll get there on time, and I'll do something better. They have this discussion. We get to verse number 27, and Martha makes a confession of faith. She says there, she said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Put that in a theology book. That's excellent. All of this is good. All of her comments are good. All of her discussion, all of her interest is good. But it's just not Mary. Sister number two, Mary. She now learns from Martha that Jesus wants to see her. Verse number 28 comes up after the discussion between Jesus and Martha. Then verse 28, Martha goes to Mary and says, He wants to see you. She's been grieving all alone. No, not alone. There are others around, but in a sense, she's all alone. She gets Martha's message, and up she goes. Mary goes to meet Jesus, and they meet. Discussion follows. But the point I want you to see, where's Mary when she speaks? John recalls that she's at Jesus' feet. You see it in verse 32? Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Luke 10 continued. We pick up where we left off. Back then, it was hospitality and so on and so forth, and she's learning. Here she is now with Jesus. She's crying. This is a bad scene. This is sad. She's heartbroken. She pours it out to Jesus. She's weary. She's empty. She's searching. Have you been there? Weary of life, circumstances of life, empty, crying, struggling. I can't help but suspect that Mary's earlier small group experience of sitting at Jesus' feet for teaching was good preparation to fall at his feet during trouble. I think this is a vital point. Learning from Jesus helps her lean on Jesus. Learning leads to leaning. The more we know from and about our Savior, the more we'll tend to lean on Him. That's why Hebrews 1:1-3 is so important when you understand who he is. Doing what is needful and good as a pupil of the Lord is a solid foundation for enduring the pain allowed by the Lord. If we can't handle the pain, I wonder how well we've been doing as a pupil. This is cream Christian living. Spending time at Jesus' feet during trouble is so Christian-like. Many scriptures use the same colors to paint the same picture. Read 1 Peter, read Romans 8, read other places, go to the Psalms. You'll find the same thing opening up in front of you. At Jesus' feet for teaching, I'll automatically go to his feet when there's trouble. Is there anything here for us? Will sitting at Jesus' feet for teaching strengthen us, strengthen you to continue to sit at his feet during trouble? Now, some people don't do that. Some people get trouble and they run from the Lord. They give up on the Lord. They turn away from the Lord. They quit on the Lord. That's what was going on there in the book of Hebrews as we began to study it. The people there were tired of persecution. They were tired of the struggle, and they were ready to cash it in. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews wrote those things. Well, you need to learn about who he is so you'll stick with him during trouble. Any of you experiencing any trouble now? I'm going to look deep into your eyes and see. Have quiet tears etched your face recently? Nobody was around. Nobody saw. But there they were. Trouble. Maybe right now are gale force winds of heartache blowing across your soul inside of you, even this moment, sitting here holding your Bible, listening to a sermon, and yet inside it's blustery. As I say, sometimes Christians neglect the Lord at these times, but you won't, will you? There's only a yes or no. Times of trouble are opportunities to remember teaching learned at Jesus' feet. That's why Jesus told Mary and Martha, Mary is doing what's necessary. It's needed. It's good. Because he knew it's not going to be long and there's going to be a funeral. And these are the things that will come back to her. Come on, Martha, leave the cupboards, leave the menus. Come over here, sit down. You're going to go through it too. Troublesome times are opportunities to fall at Jesus' feet again. We do it for teaching, learning as a pupil. We do it during trouble, leaning in our pain. We do it because we remember God's Son. In Hebrews 1, the Son of God who inherited everything. Now that's somebody to lean on during trouble. The one who created the worlds, lean on him. The one who supports the universe, lean on him. During trouble. But we have one more story. Chapter 12 of John, Mary spent time at Jesus' feet with treasure. Interesting. Spent time at Jesus' feet with treasure. Now, back in chapter 11, where we just were looking, in verse number 2, we already have a hint of what we're looking at in chapter 12 now. In chapter 11, verse 2, it says about Mary, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And then we get into the Lazarus story, but he's coming back now to that verse. Now the bud blossoms in chapter 12. The Gospels of Matthew, chapter 26, and Mark, chapter 14, add some more color to this. It's another meal occasion here in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. I'll ask you a one-question quiz. Who do you think is serving? Who do you think? It's interesting when you put together Mark and Matthew with John, and it says, and Martha is serving. Oh, Martha. Now, it's not a bad thing. She must have had a good hostess reputation, because here she has the lead again of serving, and it's not even her own house. Simon, who is hosting this, must have said, who can I get? Who can I get? Martha, I know Martha. She'll do a good job. Now, one thing this tells us, if you've got a gift, use it wherever you can. If you're good at serving, serve. Just don't forget some other things. So here's Martha again. And there's a guest list at this particular meal. You can read through the text and find out it's a list of who's who's. I mean, this would have been a meal to go to. Of course, we have the Savior there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one described in Hebrews 1:1-3. He created everything. He supports everything. All that's involved in the Savior, he's there. Who else is there? Simon. Who's Simon? He's a man that was leprous and now he's healed. He hosts the meal. Wouldn't you want to be there and talk with him? What was it like beforehand, before Jesus healed you? So they're there. Someone raised from the dead is there. What kind of a mealtime is this? You've got the man Lazarus, and he was dead. Now he's alive, sitting there, munching on the same things you're munching on. You know who else is there? The one who's just about ready to betray Jesus. His name's Judas. Imagine that. He's sitting there. And you know who else? A man named Peter, who is pretty soon going to deny that he ever knew Jesus. He's sitting there. Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas. He's there. And others. And with all of those people gathered around this mealtime, you might think, well, boy, Jesus has a smorgasbord of people to point out and talk to and put the spotlight on. And where does he bring the spotlight? On Mary. And where is she? Verse 3 says she's at his feet. We've seen that before. She's at his feet. And she lavishes some special imported ointment on Jesus' feet. Now, if you look at Matthew and Mark, it says she also anointed his head. Head to toe. Anointing of Jesus with this ointment. And it wasn't the Walmart brand. This ointment, well, let's let Judas Iscariot tell us. He does the math. He comes up with a value there in verse number 5 of 300 days' wages. That's the value of this ointment that she dumped on the feet and head of Jesus. She must have been saving this for a while. She hasn't used it on herself, apparently. She breaks open this container. Judas offers some suggestions of use of the money if the ointment is sold. He said, we could sell that, and with the money, we could do such and such. Now, he was interested in that because he's a thief and he was robbing out of the treasury. We're told that elsewhere. But Jesus deflects the betrayer's treasurer's report and he demands that Mary be left alone to do as she pleases with her own treasure. Verse 7, but Jesus said, let her alone. And it's a sharp rebuke there. Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Now let's review a minute. back of your bulletin, fill in the blanks. We saw Mary learning from Jesus as a pupil. Then we witnessed her leaning on Jesus in her pain. And now she's loving Jesus with her possessions. What unselfish, sacrificial adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ. To some at this gathering, to some this was wasteful. This is extreme. This is impractical. What are you doing, Mary? But what does Jesus say in Mark 14, verse number 6? Jesus calls what Mary is doing a good thing. Hey, we've heard that before. She was doing a good thing sitting at his feet for teaching. Now she's doing a good thing sitting at his feet with her treasure. And what's interesting in Matthew and Mark, Jesus announces a global memorial day for Mary. He says about her at that point, wherever from now on the gospel is told, this is going to be remembered. We're remembering it. Bible's translated into hundreds of languages. They're remembering it. What an incredible thing. But do you see the particular note that Jesus makes in all of these passages? Read Matthew, read Mark, read here. Mary has some insight about the coming death and burial of Jesus. Look at it, verse 7. Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Now, if you look that through and then contrast it with the disciples who so often heard Jesus say that he's going to suffer and he's going to die and he's going to rise, and they walked away saying, wait, what? What's he talking about? We don't get it. And they never did anything like this. Mary got it. Somehow she had insight. She understands something about, I wonder if that's because she started out sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his teaching. So when it comes to a time like this, she gets it even when others don't. I wonder if this is because Mary sat at Jesus' feet during trouble, stayed with him. Her heart bursts with love for Jesus. The offering of the perfume is a small way, something she had to demonstrate her love. She is saying that Jesus deserves all that she has, all that she is. That's how we feel too, right? Is that how you feel about Jesus? He deserves all that I am. Aren't we willing, aren't we trying to walk in Mary's footsteps? Aren't we placing our treasure at Jesus' feet? Our time, our energy, our long list. After all, we remember from Hebrews 1 that God's Son dealt with sins, took care of my sin. I just give him everything. You remember stanzas 4 and 6 of hymn 301, 302. I think Mary, I'd love to hear Mary sing this. Even if she sang it in Hebrew or whatever language she wanted to use. Stanza 4, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. There's Mary. Stanza 6, take my love, my Lord. This next phrase, take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. I wonder if Mary would say amen. People say amen to a lot of different things, don't they? People say things, sometimes you're saying, why did they say amen to that? I don't quite get it, but I wonder if Mary would say amen to today's zinger. Don't pray and talk cream and live skimmed milk. I say thank you, Mary, for living cream. Thank you for remembering God's Son and spending time at Jesus' feet, for teaching and during trouble and with your treasure. Thank you, Mary. Now I have a better idea of what it means to live a cream life. Mary, you show us how to learn from Jesus. You show us how to lean on Jesus. You show us how to love Jesus. And thank you if you're doing the same, for your determination to live Christian cream for God. Keep it up. Keep it up. God's blessings will be yours as you spend more time at Jesus' feet. You know, don't you, that that's what communion is for? It's not just, oh yeah, first Sunday of the month. It's, oh boy, another opportunity to spend some time sitting at the feet of the Savior and reflecting on what He's done for me. Think about that. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for giving us Mary as an example. How interesting you've made her life as we find her these three times at Jesus' feet. Help us, our God, to learn from this. Help us to profit in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.